Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Okay, it's so good to be back with you wherever you are in the world, and we thank the Lord that He is alive and well. He's with us today. And so we're going to talk today about where is God? Now, we see people getting their heads cut off and people getting blown up and all the problems in this world and the things that are going on in the world. And so we ask the question, where is God? And God has showed Him to us to Himself, showed us Himself in many different ways. And we're going to talk about that today on our program. But before we get into that, Brother Al Davis, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, is going to give us a talk on science and the Bible.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and it's good to be with you again. And just before we get into that, just want to remind people that you can look at Bruce's website. You can find it at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And a number of people have been visiting there and appreciate those visits. You can listen to past programs there. There's also some other materials there where Bruce is preaching and teaching on the history of the Bible and church history, things of that nature. And also, he's also singing on there a little bit. So, and there's also a great article there that he wrote a long time ago that kind of got him going down this path, I guess, called Correcting the King James Bible. And so you can find that there at whereisgodsword.com. Well, I wanted to mention something here today. We've talked in the past about how genetics confirm where the Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living in Genesis, but there's an exciting new study that's out. Research biologist Dr. Nathaniel Jensen did an intensive study of human mitochondrial DNA sequences. And let me explain that real quick here. When we were talking in the past about Eve being the mother of all living and genetics proving that, the way they prove that is that everybody has the DNA that's in the nucleus, the center of your cell, that determines your basic characteristics and everything. But what most people don't realize is that inside of each cell, there's little organelles called mitochondria that are basically, they are what you would call the energy factory of the cell. And these mitochondria have their own DNA. It's called mitochondrial DNA. And you only get the mitochondrial DNA from your mother. It comes from the woman's egg cell, and that's the only place that it comes from. So by tracing back the mutations on human mitochondria, they have come to the conclusion that every human being is descended from one woman. They call her mitochondrial Eve. Well, here's the great thing with this. And a further study on mitochondrial DNA and looking at the mutation rate there, they came to a conclusion that in looking at these mutation rates, Jensen charted these and he put them into a software program that puts these things together, and it puts together a tree-like diagram. And what's interesting is this tree-like diagram, it depicts lines of ancestry and finds that all human mitochondria DNA goes back to three nodes before it goes back to Eve. And this is interesting because in the Bible, we read that when God sent the flood and he commanded Noah to go into the ark, the Bible says that Genesis chapter 8, and here in Genesis chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply in the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him." Now, when they got off from the ark in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenished the earth. Now, time we get over into chapter 10, it says in verse 1, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. And we have the table of nations here. All human beings living on the earth are descended from either the line of Shem, Ham, or Japheth. Apparently, Noah and his wife had no more children after the flood. They only had these three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they, in turn, had three wives. Now, that's interesting. This study of mitochondrial DNA found that there's three nodes. And guess how many wives we have here? There's Mrs. Ham, Mrs. Shem, and Mrs. Japheth. All human beings go back to three of these women, just like modern genetic science has found. Not only that, there's another thing there in the rate of DNA differences. At the rate of mitochondrial DNA mutation that they've calculated out, there should be between 2 and 8 differences in the nucleotides, which is a part of the DNA molecule, that should have accumulated in the generations between Adam and Noah. Well, guess what happens on this chart between the three nodes? There's 8 differences in the nucleotides in the mitochondrial DNA. That's interesting. That's two things in favor of the Bible. And then, of course, when we look at this, those 8 plus the time from the flood to today suggests that there should be about 123 total mitochondrial DNA differences between people living in the world today. And guess what? When they looked at people from all over the world and they looked at the differences in the mitochondrial DNA, guess how many the maximum amount of differences that they found here studying the DNA?
Well, how many is it?
123. Science said that there's three nodes that everybody's descended from that all come from the same original one, that there should be 8 differences or up to about 9, but no more than 9 between the first generation and these three nodes. And that total from all of this, there should be a maximum of 123. And here we find the Bible is correct. Everybody is descended from the offspring of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They're three wives. There's the three nodes. And there's a maximum of 8 differences and mutations between those three nodes, which is what you would expect from them all being the descendants of Eve. And 123 total for all of us in the world today is check, check, and triple check. Once again, science proving the word of God beyond any shadow of a doubt.
Well, thank you, preacher, for that. And that was very interesting, always interesting. And I sure appreciate you being with us.
Oh, want to mention one other thing, too, before we forget.
Sure.
You've been at the West Lake Baptist Church, and I was going to mention that earlier. And you've been at the West Lake Baptist Church preaching on Sunday evenings. You'll be there this coming Sunday evening. What time does that start?
I believe that starts at 6.
6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay, and that they'll be meeting at the Westlake City Recreation Center located 28955 Hilliard Boulevard in Westlake. Paul Mills is the pastor there. You can contact the church at 440-366-0668 for more information, and it's also on the website here at whereisgodsword.com.
Thank you for reminding us of that. And I was there last Sunday night. We had a wonderful time. And it's a blessing. I really respect the pastor there. Goes by Paul Mills, sometimes Pete Mills. His dad was called Paul. But him and his wife are outstanding people and very friendly. And they have a small group there, but they're doing good and they're picking up folks and have a good congregation there. And the Lord is blessing them, and so they're meeting in a recreation center there, and we sure invite you to come, and be nice to meet with you, and you could come and meet the pastor and his wife and family, and they're an outstanding family, and have a great church there. We are looking forward again to being there Sunday night. But I want to talk today about where is God, and you look at all the chaos and the problems in the world today. You see the things that I wouldn't even have to mention it. Last week they were talking about all those people getting slaughtered in the bar. And then you read constantly about the terrorist groups going on and all this stuff going on around the world. And so where is God? Has he revealed himself? How do we know where he is? And is there evidence of God in this planet? And I want to talk on that today and show where the evidence is. Now, first of all, to find the evidence, you have to have the map and that shows you the evidence. And the map is the Word of God. And it gives you the evidence, and it is evidence, it is proof. The Bible says Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And so our faith is based on proof. In fact, the word faith is based on, it says faith is a substance of things hoped for. All that we believe about Christ in the Bible and look forward to, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And God has given us evidence. So our faith is based on evidence. And faith is we are accepting God's evidence, acting on that evidence that he's given us. Yeah, some people, the way the modernist or liberal looks at it, faith is sort of a leap in the dark and you just jump off the cliff, you know, without knowing where you're going to land. But God has given us a whole book of evidence, infallible proof. And that's what we talk about on our program here. And so it's found in 66 books in the Authorized King James Bible. So the question then, looking at the evidence, is where is God? Where has he shown himself? Where do we find him? So first of all, we look at the map, and that's the Word of God. And there it tells us where to find him. And Jesus says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. So we believe the Bible is true, including the program says that the Bible that we have is true. We don't talk about originals. Christ never did. He talked about a Bible that he had in his hand. And the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty and we can handle the word of God. It's something we hold that we can look at and we can have in our heart. And it's just as much the word of God as when it was written. And there's a lot of negative talk about that today, but we have it today. Now, so where is God? Now, we start off in the book of Hebrews, and it says that every house was built by someone, but that God made everything. And so I have a house, and it's a large reddish-brown house, and it has plumbing in it, has electrical wiring in it, has windows, doors, and I don't know who built it. It's built about 100 years ago. But I know one thing, that it wasn't orangutan or chimpanzee that built it. Whoever built it had some degree of intelligence. That's what I know about it. I don't know his name. I don't know anything else about him. But, I mean, it was some person that had intelligence that put that thing together, because it just didn't happen. So the same thing is God put together everything. And just as we know that a man, when we see a house, that man built that house, we know that God created everything because we see the evidence of intelligence everywhere. You realize this, that with all of man's scientific ability and all of his philosophy and religion and whatnot, he can't even produce one blade of grass. I mean, now he can grow something that's already, the seed's already been there, but I mean, to actually produce a living blade of grass with all of his scientific knowledge, he can't even produce one blade of grass. And when you see the whole universe where the earth is balanced just the proper distance from the sun, or when you see the oxygen and all of the plants and everything that are harmonized, and you see it's Almighty God. It's an evidence and proof of God. And God says when a person doesn't see this or recognize it, God calls him a fool. So we see God, first of all, in creation. But then we see God in a number of other places, and I'm going to read some of these places today. But in Ezekiel chapter 20, there's a number of places where we see God and we can know that he is God. And it says here in verse 2 of Ezekiel chapter 20, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me as I live, saith the Lord God? I will not be inquired of you. Now, they were in rebellion against God, so he says, I'm not going to talk to you for that reason. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day that I chose Israel and lifted up the hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, made myself known unto them, the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had spied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Now, God raised up this empire at that time, and it was one of the most powerful on earth. The king of that empire was called Pharaoh. And so God decided to show himself to not only Israel, but to the people in that general vicinity by a number of miracles that he did to Pharaoh. And there's a little boy. Pharaoh was killing the boy babies in Egypt, and so they hid him, and then God arranged him for the daughter of the Pharaoh to pick this little baby up and find him in a group of bulrushes. And so he was picked, and he was trained in Egypt, in the education of Egypt. But his slave mother taught him about the Lord, and although he had all the opportunity to indulge himself in the sin and wickedness of Egypt, because he would be the God King of Egypt, Moses decided to identify himself with the people of God. Well, one day he saw the Egyptians beating one of the Hebrew people, and so he rose up and he beat that Egyptian to the point where the Egyptian died. And so he had to flee from Pharaoh because of the murder that he had committed. Well, he spent about 40 years after that. In the first 40 years, he spent learning all the culture and so on of Egypt. But then he spent 40 years in the desert learning the ways of the desert. And God was preparing him. And one day God spoke to him, and there was a bush that burned, but it just didn't burn up. It didn't disintegrate. It just kept burning. And that bush is a picture of Israel, although it's been on fire ever since then, and it's been under extreme pressure and persecution and burning, yet it just doesn't seem to disappear. It continues on, despite all the chaos and trouble that comes to it. And so God told Moses, he said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, who is now the most powerful person on earth. And he says, tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son. And I said, let my son go or I'm going to kill your son. Well, Moses goes in there then and confronts Pharaoh. But Moses didn't have the guts to tell Pharaoh that God was going to kill his son. So when God met with Moses again, God says, tell him everything that I said. You'd have a hard time doing that. You go to the leader, most powerful person in the world, and say, God says, let my people go or I'm going to kill your son. So anyway, Pharaoh says, well, I don't know this God. He's some God of a slaves. I don't know who he is, and I'm not going to let him go. And so God begins to show himself to Israel and to Egyptians by attacking their false gods in Egypt. One of them was the river Nile. And so he turns the Nile into blood, and then he attacks God after God of the Egyptians, one after another one. And all of Egypt hears about these miracles that take place. And then God then has showed himself to the Egyptians, showed himself to Israel, and showed himself to the neighboring country. And finally, God said, I want everyone to make a sacrifice and kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. And if you don't do it, every firstborn will die, but if you do it, the firstborn will be left alive. And so the Egyptians, of course, they didn't like shepherds and they didn't like sheep. And the people that are against God, they don't like preachers and they don't like God's people either. Nothing has ever changed. So they don't like the blood of the lamb. And so the blood is put on the doorpost. And when it is put there, one night the death angel comes over. And every firstborn in Egypt dies. And it's a picture of Jesus. He died for our sins, and when we put our faith in him, the blood is counted to us. Now, if we're born one time, we die, but if we're born twice, we're born again, we live. And we're born again by faith in the blood of Jesus. So God made himself known to them at that time. Then God made himself known to Egypt and the children of Israel in the Exodus. Pharaoh changes his mind, and finally at that time he says, get out of here. Well, they get out, and then Pharaoh changes his mind again. They get to the Red Sea, and they're cut off. The sea cuts them off, and Pharaoh's army cuts them off, and then a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day cuts, makes a division between them. When somebody is born again and saved, there's a division between them. And so the next day, they march. The sea opens up, an incredible sea opens up, and they march through the middle of the sea and dry land. When they get to the other side, Pharaoh decides to send his army down and go through the bed of that sea too. But when his army gets in there, first of all, his wheels start coming off on that thing, and they have still found those wheels today. Some of the results of those wheels, in the Dead Sea. And then there's a traffic jam down there, and then at that point the water covers Pharaoh's army. And later on, when they come into Canaan, Rahab tells the spies that are from Israel, she says that Israel's God is the God of heaven and earth, and she becomes a believer. So God revealed himself in the Exodus. And not only that, when they were going through the wilderness, God kept them. And clothes that were put on their feet as babies grew with them. Boy, if God can grow bones, he can grow clothes and grow shoes, and that's what he did. And so God fed them, he clothed them, he took care of probably 1.5 million people as they went through the desert. So God showed himself in Egypt. And then God made himself known not only in the Exodus, but he made himself known in judgment. And he told the Israel, he said, if you disobey me, he says, I will judge you. Now, at Mount Sinai, the Jewish people said that God would become their God. And so they were married to God at Mount Sinai as a nation. And Moses says that God is a jealous God. And he said to Israel, he said, if you step out on me, he said, I will judge you for it, because you are my bride, you are my wife. And God has never changed his thinking on that. And so when they stepped out and started to worship other gods, God made himself known in judgment to them, and he judged them very strongly and very powerfully. And then God made himself known in the return. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 41 and 42, it states here that God is... told the Jewish people that if they sinned against them, that they would be scattered to the whole world. And so they were. But then he said that he would bring them back to the land. And when he brought them back to the land, they would know that he is God. He said, I will accept you with sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, unto the country for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to you fathers. Now, God said that land belongs to him, and he gave it to Israel right there in this passage. And he said, you will know. Now, God revealed himself, because right in our day, I remember one person said, well, I don't believe in the prophecies of the Bible, because it said God would bring the Jews back to the land, and this is impossible. And yet 100 years later, they came back to the land and they have become a mighty army. And so once again, it shows that God is alive and God is well. And God brought them back to the land, but when they come back to the land, he is also protecting them. And so even in some of these difficulties, they were attacked by countries that were 100 times the numbers of people that they had, and yet they went through them like a knife through butter, winning every war. And God said that's what would happen. And finally, God's going to be known when Jesus Christ comes back and he takes over this earth and when the world...
You've been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.